honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and a special episode highlighting the Honor Flight Network and the upcoming flights full of veterans taking off in pretty much every area where you listen to this radio program. If you missed that rundown of upcoming flights earlier in the show, you can find it at hometownheroesradio.com. So get out to the next homecoming event where you live. I guarantee it's going to give you goosebumps. And if you happen to live in California's San Joaquin Valley, you could do that two nights in a row this week if you want. Thursday, April 20th will be the return of Honor Flight Kern County's latest mission, and you can greet those veterans at Bakersfield's Meadows Field Airport. Wednesday, April 19th, a little further north of there, Central Valley Honor Flight will return with 68 veterans whose service spans seven different decades, starting in 1941. That group will actually be visiting the National World War II Memorial the day before, April 18th, which will be the 81st anniversary of the Doolittle Raid on Tokyo, when those courageous B-25 crews took off from the USS Hornet on an unprecedented one-way mission. One of the vets on this flight witnessed the sinking of the Hornet 6 months later. If you've ever seen film of the Doolittle Raiders taking off from the Hornet, you have a palpable sense of how risky it was and how much courage it required. But we have that footage because a photographer was there to capture it. Another veteran going on this honor flight to Washington, D.C. is Fred Smith. Photography is what he ended up specializing in the Marine Corps, and what has colored so much of his life ever since. Fred, how old were you when the view through that lens started to captivate you?
Well, I think I was in junior high school. I used to play around. We had a little film camera, and I used to have fun making goofy little movie-type things with it. Really, in high school, I started photography in high school. I took 2 years at McLean and did quite well. Had a picture in the New York World's Fair.
What was it at?
There was an old pump house on Belmont Avenue heading up to the Kings River that was abandoned and it was falling apart. It had an old rag hanging over the window and it had some rusty pans out front. And I thought it was real interesting. I shot a photo of it and then I sepia-toned it brown. And I entered that and won an award with it.
In the World's Fair in New York?
Yes, it was part of a contest put in by Eastman Kodak and Senior Scholastic Magazine. And then they took an exhibit to Europe, on a tour of Europe. I don't know if mine was included in that or not.
So that kind of added a little juice to this interest you had, huh?
Yeah, I loved it. I did real well in it. I loved it, developing and printing, and then I continued at Fresno State, press photography course there before I joined the Marine Corps. And I had no idea I'd be a Marine photographer. I just enlisted because I wanted to be in the Marine Corps, and I was anxious to be part of that. There was no guarantees. They asked me if I had a hobby, hobbies, and I said, yeah, photography. And they said, oh, can you develop in print? I said, sure. And I never thought anything of that until the last day of boot camp. They gave out MOSs, and I was a 4600, and nobody knew what that was. So I had to go all the way to the headquarters building to find out it was photography. So I was real excited about that.
Did you even know that the Marine Corps had photographers or videographers?
No, that never entered into my mind about it. Like I said, I went in there not having a clue what I was going to be. I know out of high school, I had several jobs, restaurants. I was actually cooked at the old Carnation restaurant, and I put none of that in my history. I did not want to be a cook.
Well, and I should ask you, too, when you joined the Marine Corps, like what year it was, and why? Why that was the decision that you made?
I don't know. I've always been fond of the military and growing up and watching movies, war movies and things. And I don't know. I was always very patriotic. In high school, I was into scuba diving with a friend, and we had talked about joining the Coast Guard, supposedly to learn maneuvering boats and stuff, and afterwards going into a dive boat. But they had a waiting list. I also signed up for the police cadets, and they had a waiting list. And while that was all in wait, a friend of mine had gone in the Marine Corps and told me about it. And so I decided that was what we were going to do. So I enlisted in the Marine Corps. And then after I enlisted, of course, those other things came up. But I'm glad that I chose the Marine Corps. It was a wonderful experience that I'll always be proud of.
How long were you in?
3 years, 1967 to 1970. Mm-hmm. It's with the 5th Marine Division at Camp Pendleton.
So had you finished college, or you left college to go in?
I left college. It was my second year, so I got two partial years, you know, of college.
Because this is a time in our country's history where a lot of guys are trying to figure out how not to end up in Vietnam. And when you volunteer for the Marine Corps in 1967, there's a really good chance you're going to end up in Vietnam.
Yeah, I did. But I love my country. I wanted to be part of it. I wasn't shying away from it. Like I said, anything they would have given me, I would have taken. I had no clue going in what it was going to be.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about. It just knowing a few things that you ended up with the opportunity to do, sounds like there are a whole lot of experiences you had in the Marine Corps that you probably never would have had otherwise.
Oh, absolutely. I think back if I should have made a career out of it, because I really enjoyed it. But then I think of the great things that it led me to, because I was a photographer in the Marine Corps and got into motion picture work that led me into television. So when I got out, I first went to work with Channel 30 with Al Radka, Gus Zernial, and Roger Rocca. And they were still black and white in news in those days. And after about 3 months, an opening came up at Channel 24 that was full color and paid more. So I moved over there, and I was 15 and a half years as a news photographer and also did PM Magazine.
Met a lot of interesting people, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. News was a wonderful thing, and so many different things. You're always meeting people coming through. It got me some wonderful experiences. Like, I got to fly with the Blue Angels in an F-4 Phantom, and then I was able to fly an Air Force One with Jimmy Carter when he came to view the drought problems in the valley.
I may ask you more about those two things, but I think you're still using these talents now, right? You're still active in photography or motion pictures?
Oh, yes. Photography's in my blood. I love it. In 85, I started my own video production business, and I've done that for years, doing a lot of different kind of industrial and commercial videos. Shot hundreds of weddings, both still photography and video, plays, recitals, you name it. I finally decided around 2010 I wanted to slow down and semi-retire, but I didn't give it up. I just scaled back. Concentrate mainly on plays and recitals and concerts, but I don't know. I wouldn't want to give it up. I'd miss it. I'd be bored sitting around home, you know.
Tell me some of the things you did in those 3 years in the Marine Corps. Where were some of the places they sent you, some of the things you saw, witnessed, documented?
Well, I started out as a photographer with the 5th Marine Division. We were all still photographers, and we covered everything. You did all the portraits, ID stuff. You shot all the awards in the commanding general's office, all the change of commands, everything that could be, investigative stuff. We shot for local newspapers. A lot of my pictures went into San Diego newspaper. We covered the opening of San Onofre, the nuclear power plant, because that's on Marine Corps property. When we had operations, you'd go out in the field for 5 days, just on your own. You'd come in with a landing craft or fly in with the helicopters or whatever, and you'd spend all those days covering everything. You're on your own. Runners would pick up your film that would be taken in to be processed. The flip side, if you didn't go out in the field, you'd be in the lab for those 5 days processing and printing, and you'd work all day long, and it was great. I loved the lab work. Boy, a lot of fun things, a deal. One of the greatest experiences I had was joining the 5th Recon Marines on a submarine trip, and we assaulted San Clemente Islands in the little rubber boats, and that was really a lot of fun. And then famous people came around that we'd shoot, would visit the base. You never knew what it was going to be day to day. There was a point, I think it was around 68, when we had an entire division going over to Vietnam. And we were covering that extensively. And a friend and I decided we would volunteer to go as a team. I would be the motion picture photographer, and he would be the still photographer. And we packed up and everything. But came the last day, they said, nope, we don't need any photographers, so they didn't take us. I think the division primarily kept me there because I was the most experienced to train other people.
You mentioned famous people would come around. Any that stand out that made a good impression on you?
Yeah, the Rebel, Johnny Yuma, the Rebel. I don't know if you remember that TV show.
Uh-huh.
He came. He was donating a dog to one of the regiments there, and he came with his children and spent a whole day with them, going around the base and trying out different weapons and visiting everything. And I have about 10 or 12 8x10 photographs of him and his children. I'd like to find his relatives to give it to them someday.
I'm just trying to put myself in your shoes. How much feel did you have for what the Marines who were going over to Vietnam we're up against, we're faced with, we're dealing with?
Yeah, we followed it pretty closely, and we were on top of everything that was going on there. And of course, we had people coming back from there, so we heard pretty extensive reports on what was going on, and pretty scary.
But in your role as a photographer there at Pendleton, you're taking photos of guys about to head to combat, guys coming back from combat. What do you think we need to know about those guys who were over there fighting this war?
Well, a lot of what I shot were medal presentations and stuff. It would have been a lot of people that had returned from Vietnam. It'd be in the general's office, you know, getting medals and changes of command. So you saw a fair number of them. I didn't always get a chance to know them personally, you know.
Well, speaking of knowing guys personally, are there any names on that wall of 58,000 names that you're hoping to pay a visit to?
Yes, there are. There were some I was real close to at the division, and I'm going to look up their names and check to see if any of them appeared on there. One of my friends did go right after I left, and I guess he turned around pretty fast because he came back and was assigned as my replacement in San Francisco, and he had been wounded. Mm. And so like I said, I was there for 9 months. He came with about a month. So within about 8 months, he went to Vietnam and was wounded and healed and returned. So that's a pretty scary thought.
He was wounded as a photographer?
As a photographer, yes.
Yeah.
He asked before about how the photography led me into the future. In the middle of the, probably 68, we had a large event going on that they wanted motion picture coverage of, and at that time we did not have anyone shooting motion picture. So I got about an hour-long class on how to operate this little film camera, and I went out in the field for 5 days shooting film. At the same time, there were civilians out shooting that had years of experience, and all the film was sent to headquarters Marine Corps, was processed and viewed, and then they took out what they wanted. And I apparently shot better footage than all the civilians, so I was then given to secondary MOS as a motion picture photographer. So that was primarily what I did from that point on.
Any other memories from your Marine Corps days that are kind of prominent in your mind?
Well, boot camp. I mean, no Marine's ever going to forget about boot camp. That was just an incredible... Even though you've had people tell you about it, you know, just an unbelievable experience, but very effective, because you come out of boot camp ready for anything. You don't think there's anything you can't handle. You live through that, you can live through anything.
And we've all heard that saying, once a Marine, always a Marine. What does that mean to you?
Absolutely. You know, one thing they teach you is brotherhood. When you're in boot camp, if you screw up, you don't get punished. Everybody else gets punished. They'll have the whole platoon doing knuckle push-ups in the gravel, and they'll be saying, "Thank you, Private Smith," you know, while you're standing there watching. So you learn that if you screw up, other people die, and you're dependent on each other that way. And so there's just that tremendous comradeship that you develop, you know, and you know that we all depend upon each other.
And have you seen a carryover of that mentality that they tried to drill into you in your civilian life after your military
days? Well, if anybody, another Marine knows you're a Marine, there's a Semper Fi, hoo-yah, you know, and that speaks to how that works in your life.
How many cameras are you taking on this trip, and do you think you might take some photos that might be contest worthy in D.C.?
I'm just taking a still camera. I didn't want to take my big video camera because what I use is big. I want to carry it around and want to enjoy it myself, but I will be taking a lot of still photos. I may give a camera to my son-in-law and let him shoot too, and hopefully afterwards I'll be able to make a really nice album.
And that album will hopefully include some priceless snapshots from the welcome home that you can be a part of Wednesday, April 19th at Fresno Yosemite International Airport, or if you're listening from elsewhere, a very similar scene at an airport near you, like Bakersfield the next night, April 20th, or Kalamazoo on May 13th, or Albuquerque on June 22nd. Again, I have that list for you at hometownheroesradio.com, and you can always connect to an Honor Flight organization near you at honorflight.org. We're out of time on the radio today, but thanks so much for listening. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.